Well, welcome everybody to another edition of The Last Christian Radio Show. We are, of course, syndicated all over the world. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton all the way from New York City. And David, we've got a show today that people are not going to want to miss. And we need the Holy Spirit to guide us on this one. Just maybe before we can keep our language correct. I don't know. Anyway, go ahead.
Oi. Okay. So, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for this word, and we thank you, Father, for the opportunity to spread your word around the world, and we thank you for wisdom and insight as we discern these end of days with stuff that wasn't on our prophecy bingo card. So we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, I'm going to put up here on screen what we hope to get to. And I don't know that we'll get to all of it, but here we go. We're going to look at the executive actions that took place just this week. I mean, we actually have a president now who can put words together and everything. And he has, he is scaring the Democrats all to death. I call them the Democrats now because, we'll get to that in a minute. Anyway, we're also going to talk about the battle against anti-Christian bias. The Trump-Putin meetings in Ukraine about the Ukrainian war over there. We'll look at what may be Trump's Gaza plan. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Third Temple, and we may have to save a lot of this for another show. And then we're going to talk about transgender, the transgender swimmer that, you know, that rocked the NCAA by winning the women's division. Well, he's being sued now. And then, of course, the Bible on sexual depravity, and that's a big one that people don't want to hear. But, you know, it's important to teach what you are supposed to know and tell people what they're supposed to hear and not what they want to hear, not necessarily. Isn't that correct, David?
Yeah. And that reminds me of Mace. Remember, you know that senator? What's her name? Marcy Mace or something? Anyway, she was in Congress this week, and they had some kind of hearing, right? And and then she says tranny, and then one of the guys, oh, need I remind you that, you know, some of the words might seem offensive to the LGBT community, and we'll try not to. She goes, tranny, tranny, tranny. I don't care.
There you go. Now, that would have been my response. That's the reason I could never be in politics. I'm just straight up. Yeah.
Oh, man, and you should have seen them.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they went into full freak out. Did you know yesterday Maxine Waters and a few other
That clown.
You know, completely idiotic Congress people went to the Department of Education that President Trump is probably going to close during his term. They wanted in, and the guy wouldn't let them in. And, you know, I watched him. I was listening to her sounding like this little three-year-old having a fit, jumping up and down. And I was watching him.
Show me your ID.
Yeah, no. And he was really struggling to keep a straight face. He really was. I mean, he didn't. He was enjoying every minute of that. You know. Oh man. Okay.
And they did that to. They were in the DHS last week too. They tried to get in there and they wouldn't let them in.
Yeah, that's just crazy.
It's like they don't know what to do. All they do, they want to get on TV and cry. It's not going to work anymore.
Insane. Well, now I don't have a lot of news outside of what. You know what we're going to talk about today, and I'm really going to even cull it down from what I had. So I'm just going to go with some stuff like this. Let's take a look at the British Daily Mail is claiming to have obtained a leak of Trump's plan to end the war in the Ukraine. And if you look at these terms, and by the way, if you guys aren't seeing it, what you need to do is go to lastchristian.net. That's lastchristian.net, and there you can get the video feed. But anyway, what he's calling for is a ceasefire to be achieved by Easter on April 20th, that the Ukraine will not be able to join NATO, just exactly the way that the United States promised Russia back in the 1980s would be the case.
Mm-hmm.
Then Ukraine will recognize Russian sovereignty over the territories it has occupied and will be forced to withdraw from the territory it controls in the Kursk region. That basically gives Russia a win but also mm-hmm. allows Ukraine to survive. They will then have a demilitarized zone declared between the two countries. European forces, most likely British, sure isn't going to be us, will manage it without U.S. military involvement. I like that part. The European Union will invest $468 billion in the reconstruction of Ukraine over a decade. I bet that happens. The schedule mm-hmm. for this is early February, a phone call between Putin and Zelensky, late February, early March, a meeting between Putin and Zelensky, I guess face-to-face. Then April 20th, the de facto ceasefire. May 9th, all agreements will be revealed. Military regimes and conscription will be abolished. The U.S. will continue to transfer Ukraine to receive security assistance, and Ukraine to reserve a path to join the EU by 2030. And I bet that didn't happen mm-hmm. either. What do you have to say about that one, David?
Oh, well, you know, Trump is the master of the deal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of it in his book, part of the MO here, just so you get bullet points on it, is everybody has to hate it equally. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes a good deal, because now you can't complain about hating your part, because look at what has happened on your opponent's part. Right. That is, they hate, that is going to benefit you. Mm-hmm. And that's what actually makes a deal work, believe it or not. So this leads, I mean, it's two things. He's brilliant at it. He really is on the art of making a deal. And then some people suppose that, well, that's what the Antichrist does. He's a deal maker.
Yeah.
So they throw that moniker on him as well. I don't think he's the Antichrist, but I am open to the possibility. Although he's saying everything we love and doing everything we love, mm-hmm. open to the possibility that he might be the hero that we need.
One thing that I noticed yesterday, and we'll get into this a little bit more later in the show, more about on this topic anyway, is that mm-hmm. Trump has appointed a female as the pastor for this new education office.
Now, yes, that has a lot of Christians up in arms.
Yeah, it had me up in arms too. Yeah, but yeah. You want to tell them why? Why we're upset about that?
Well, yeah, there is one passage that says a woman shall not teach or usurp authority over her man. And honestly, it's been misconstrued. You know, the church, I think starting with the Puritans, said that, you know, women are not allowed to be pastors. But in all honesty, that's not what the passage says. Mm-hmm. Okay, although we have that in our thing. It literally says over her man. And you mm-hmm. have to look at the context in which that was written. And at that time, just like the synagogues, men were on one side and women were on the other. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what was happening is the women were asking questions and telling everything, and they're yelling across and they're disrupting it. That's why he says, no, be quiet and ask mm-hmm. your husband when you go home. But then, you know, further, it's like, some of the women were trying to tell the men what to do. We see that today with the emasculated men. And the women were trying. No, and he's like, no, you are not allowed to have authority over your husband. And it literally says her man, which means your husband mm-hmm. in the Greek. mm-hmm. So, yeah, she's not allowed to be the boss of her husband. Well, it doesn't mean she can't speak or lead in a church setting, because there was quite a few women who were actually apostles and did very right. well.
Yes.
A lot of them did a lot more work than the men did.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that.
Well, I can point to Jan Markle, mm-hmm. for instance. I don't think she calls uh-huh. herself a pastor, but she, you know, she teaches the word.
Correct.
And then
Jan Markle.
Right. Uh-huh. And then Billy Graham's daughter, I can't remember her name. I know she leads a lot of services as well. So I don't know. I was always taught that it was supposed to be men only as pastors of churches. You've kind of clarified that.
Yeah, that's what we were taught. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But okay. You know, then I was like, well, let's look into that, because mm-hmm. you know, not for nothing, some of them are really good.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the Word of God never comes
into it.
Void.
It literally says. Yeah, it literally says her husband, mm-hmm. and then I looked into the background. Why did Paul write that?
Okay.
And that's why, because they mm-hmm. were they were literally trying to take over the marriage kind of thing.
Okay. All right, getting back to a little bit of news here. I want to look at this Gaza stuff. Okay, so let's look at phase two. By the way, the next three hostages were released this morning. And David and I have looked at the pictures. We didn't have time to load it on the show today, but there's a night and day difference between the way they looked when they were captured and the way they look now. They look like they came out of the Holocaust, out of World War II, wouldn't you?
Yeah, they look horrible. I found those pictures. I went to foxnews.com, mm-hmm. and they actually have the pictures side by side of before and after.
Right.
Hostages.
Yeah,
and then they insisted on making them stand there with their certificates. I'm like, okay, as the phrase goes, there's going to be hell to pay for that.
Yes, there is. All right, let's listen to this. This is phase two planning.
Hamas officials have initiated discussions with international mediators concerning the second phase of the Gaza ceasefire.
The initial phase, which began in January, included humanitarian aid and a prisoner exchange, but left key issues unresolved. These ongoing talks aim to address an extended truce and governance matters. The situation remains delicate, as both parties navigate complex negotiations to maintain peace in the region. Benjamin Wright reporting.
Okay, now that was early in the week, and then all of a sudden our president dropped the bombshell that we were going to take over in Gaza.
Take over, yeah. That is the prophecy bingo card. Mm-hmm. One of them I was speaking of.
Yeah,
there's a couple more in there too.
Yeah, David and I actually exchanged some texts on this one because it was shocking to say the least. Anyway, let's listen to what both sides say about it.
Reaction to President Trump's stunning proposal to have America take over the Gaza Strip, clean it up and rebuild it as a Middle East version of the French Riviera, a plan that he says will first require the entire territory to be depopulated of the Palestinians who live there. Among US allies immediately rejecting the idea, Saudi Arabia.
Some of President Trump's statement indicate clearly that maybe he's not well informed.
Dr. Abdul Aziz Sucker heads the Gulf Research Center in Riyadh.
Or well briefed by his advisor or his group when he talk about the retaining of the people of Gaza. They have never left Gaza. They are always there. And they have the right of determination to determine about their country and their future. There is no question in the Arab world about the coexistent right of the Palestinian and the Israeli. But the Israeli, neither the American or anybody, has the right to force the people of Gaza to leave Gaza or to go somewhere else, or even push Egypt or Jordan to accept refugees or people from the Palestinian side to leave there.
Egypt and Jordan have both roundly rejected the notion that they might agree to resettle Palestinians forcibly expelled from Gaza. President Trump said he thinks they will change their minds. Today, the view from Israel, where Seth Frantzman is senior correspondent and analyst at the Jerusalem Post.
There's some shock, but I think when it comes to Trump being unpredictable, it's shown in the past that his willingness to kind of throw away the rule book and be unpredictable sometimes does get him the deals that he wants, because what he does is he lays out a very big demand, and then he gets about half of it or a third of it. Mm-hmm. But from his perspective, that's kind of what he wanted anyway. So I think in terms of Gaza, he's trying to show that he's willing to be very flexible, and he's also threatening to do something totally different, which I think he probably thinks will bring some of the countries to the table that he'd like to have them step up and do more.
On Thursday, President Trump slightly reworked his proposal, insisting no American troops would be deployed to Gaza. The United States, he said, would work through regional partners, but he still foresees planting the stars and stripes there and turning Gaza into part of the United States, a proposal now roundly rejected outside America and Israel. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
And Simon lied to you on that last part. He never said he was going to take it or anything like that. That's all made up right there.
Yeah. Well, Simon lies about several things.
Yes, he does.
I find it quite interesting. Mm-hmm. So this, it's very fascinating, because here he is again. Part of the art of the deal is ask for something so totally ridiculous that they come down to what you wanted to start with to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So he wanted all these countries to help and be involved, and And they're like, no, no, no. And then he's like, okay, well, we're going to come over and take over the whole place, and we're going to send them to your house. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, no, wait, wait, wait. We'll help. We'll do this. Right. You don't have to come over. Oh, okay, good.
This guy, he's got the world, you know. He's got them. He's just got them. Okay, now I'm going to show a couple of things here that are not on schedule, but what I want you guys to see for sure. You remember Nasrallah? The guy, the Hamas leader that they killed first. He was the big head honcho. He'd been there for a long time. Well, they actually released the video of the bomb that took him out, and it's a bunker. Bunker buster bomb. Now I'm gonna tell you this right off the top. There's no reason for anybody to leave a room or anything like that because you're not going to see anybody get hurt. Okay, this is the wildest video that I have ever seen. But you know when he's killed. Watch this. This is just totally incredible. Now watch this guy coming out to his motorcycle, okay? And the bomb hits with him at his motorcycle. You see how that thing is digging in? It's digging a hole. But the guy that was with the motorcycle, he ran in a building. Okay, so this bomb is still going down. Now the fire's starting to come up. Nasrallah is obviously deceased at this point. But like I said, nobody's going to get hurt except the guy they were after. This is Israeli precision strikes. How do I know that? Because watch what happens as the gentleman that we saw on his motorcycle, as soon as he figures out that it's okay, and look at that destroyed car there, by the way. As soon as he figures out that everything is fine, then this gentleman, he's going to kind of sneak out here real quick, jump on his motorcycle, and he's out of there.
Look at that. Yeah. It's like right next to him. That's crazy.
You talk about precision strikes. Now compare that to Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis and Iran, who just shoot at Israel and hope it hits something and kills somebody. There's a huge difference there, David, isn't there?
Yeah, it's that was extremely targeted, even to the point where it didn't even take the camera out. And it landed right next to it.
That's crazy. I watched it yesterday, and I had to include it. Okay, now... I'm going to show this next one is also just a quick video. It's just a few seconds, and I'm going to explain what you're looking at as we go. Watch this now. This is in Peru, and for whatever reason, this river just turned red. They don't know how it did it. They don't know why it did it, and I've seen a report, didn't have time to include it, where this happened with another river. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because one of the things in the tribulation, and trust me, before y'all even guess, no, this is not the beginning of the tribulation at all, but it's a good example of what things will look like.
Indicative.
Yeah, when God turns all the water to blood. I mean, that's going to be sort of what it looks like, right?
Yeah, and so that's a metaphor. It turns into blood, but this is because people are destroying the earth. I mean, with all the chemtrails and with all the bioweapons and everything else they're doing, the weather manipulation, yada, 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 they're causing a lot of bad things to happen. One of those is bacteria blooms, and that will literally turn all the things red. So this is... If I were to guess, I would say that's probably some kind of bacterial.
Yeah, some kind of chemical stuff. Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. Now, like I said, and all of this is pretty much covered in Trump's executive orders. But this one came out yesterday, and both me and David wanted to include this one in the show. This came out yesterday about 5 o'clock here in Texas. memo from Donald Trump where he said there's no need for Joe Biden to continue receiving access to classified information. Therefore, we are immediately revoking Joe Biden's security clearances and stopping his daily intelligence briefings. He set this precedent in 2021 when he instructed the intelligence community, the IC, to stop the 45th president of the United States, me, from accessing details on national security, a courtesy provided to former presidents. The HER report revealed that Biden suffers from poor memory and even in his prime could not be trusted with sensitive information. I will always protect our nation's security. Joe, you're fired. Make America great again. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, that's fantastic. What's that term? Turnabout is fair play.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the libtards are probably like, I was like, well, this is the precedent that you set. You did this, so I'm just doing what you did,
right?
And they don't know how to handle it. And it's I think it's even funnier in Doge. Now they're like, oh, Elon is unelected. How come he's in there doing this and that and the other? So Babylon Bee came out with it. It was perfect. He says the unelected official is destroying. The Democrats are angry because his unelected official is destroying what their unelected officials have built.
Right.
That's perfect.
Yeah, anything that they accuse the Republicans of is something that
they're
doing.
And they can't do anything, which is why they're all going on TV. That's what Crying Chuck does all the time.
Oh,
they're
going
to go on TV and yell, and then they feel better about themselves. Problem is, no one's listening to them.
Right.
At this point, everyone thinks they're just a bunch of clowns.
Right, exactly.
Democrats think they're a bunch of clowns. Well, like, can we get new leadership, please?
Yeah, Carville, he's a big guy for the Democrats. I forget his first name. James Carville. He was saying, as long as we're doing all this identity stuff and all that, lost in space, never win an election. And he's right. Okay. Next, I told you about the battle about anti-Christian bias. Well, take a look at this.
The element, the everything that's going to be happy, people of religion are going to be happy again. And I really believe you can't be happy without religion, without that belief. I really believe it. I just don't see how you can be. So let's bring religion back. Let's bring God back into our lives. Thank you all very much. Thank you very much. Great honor. Thank you.
All right. Just bring God back. And I agree with that 100%. So he went on. That Trump is to target anti-Christian bias. Now, this is from Reuters, where U.S. President Donald Trump said that he would create a White House faith office and direct Attorney General Pam Bondi to lead a task force on eradicating what he called anti-Christian bias within the federal government. Now, there's a lot here. I've actually got three slides on this, but I don't think we need it. What do you think about this directive here, David?
Well, it's obviously the correct thing to do. I mean, we were built as a Christian nation. Most people don't know this, but when the nation was founded, it was a requirement to be a Christian to serve in the government in any way, shape, or form. If you weren't allowed, and they actually did not allow Muslims in because they didn't, they weren't like, anti-religion kind of thing, but because the Muslims were they were demonstrably trying to take over, and that's why they did it. And they knew that they were trying to take over and make it a Muslim nation instead of a Christian nation, and that's why they weren't allowed. If they don't do that, then they're allowed. So, yeah, it's kind of going back to where we should have been. And it's at the same time, all the Democrats are crying, oh, you're destroying the Constitution. No, he's actually bringing the Constitution back to the way it originally was. And he read that, which, by the way, the Constitution actually, part of the early papers, I forget where, but it says if Canada wants to, they can become part of the United States as well, which is why he said that.
Okay.
So people think, he's just going to take over Canada. No, they actually said that because they were all part of England at the time, but the 13 colonies separated themselves and Canada was up there. They said, hey, you want to join us? You could be part of us.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, it's open. We got an open door. And they never closed the door.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, if they want to, they could just say, you know what? We're going to be part of the United States now.
Okay. Well, I, now that's that, and I consider myself a pretty good student of history, and that one I didn't know. So that's cool because, you know, Trump, this, you know, he always has a unique perspective, and he blows stuff up. I mean, you know, it just... He hits it from different angles that had never happened before. It's really cool.
Yeah, he ain't playing this time. He's like,
He learned from the first time.
He learned from the mistakes last time, and now he's like, listen, I'm a dead man anyway, so let's just do this.
Yeah. Well, did you notice, you know, Iran's got a hit squad out on him, and they asked ask him about that because, you know, we've had all the the people – crossing the border, and a lot of them are from Iran, and you know, they hadn't found everybody yet, and they said, well, you know you're on the hit list or whatever, you know. And he said, yeah, I know. If I'm killed, I've left instructions, and there will be nothing left of them, you know. I mean, he said it from about every angle he could without actually saying nuclear
without
bomb
saying it, yeah.
Okay, but he made it very clear that the United States would nuke them. It was clear. It was crystal clear. So,
clear.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that whole melting of the mountains thing? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one thing, I'll tell you what popped in my mind, is what if Iran and these countries go around Damascus and there's just an attempt made, you know, or maybe he's really assassinated. Who knows? And trust me, I'm not calling for the assassination of Trump. I love the guy. I think he's doing a great job. But if something were to happen, well, that'd be a good way for Damascus to disappear and fulfill prophecy of Isaiah 17:1, wouldn't it?
That's one of the possibilities. I mean, we've seen so many different angles on Damascus lately that could happen. It's almost like, you know, here, pick a card. They're all going to end Damascus.
All right. Well, David, we're down to under a minute in the first half of the show. Now, I'm going to tell you guys that we're going to get into the Jewish Third Temple. We're going to talk about this transgender swimmer, and we're going to explain to you what the Bible says about sexual depravity. And we're going to go into great detail on all those things in the second half, so y'all hang in there with us. David, take us out.
All right, so if we don't make it to the second half because Jesus returns, we would advise that you probably come with us. So if you haven't received Christ, I would suggest you do it right now. He died in place of you because the wages of sin is death. He paid off your old debt, and he said, come and live with me. And all you got to do is love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's your end of the deal. So I would suggest that. But Lord willing, we'll be back. We'll see you in the second half. Bye-bye.
Are you weighed down by life's issues and challenges? Do you need rest from the day-to-day grind? Then the Word of God broadcast is your listening station. The Word of God broadcast is a Christ-centered ministry, sharing God's marvelous Word. Here you will find you rest from the things of the world. Join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on Revelation Radio Broadcast. The Word of God broadcast plants the seeds, and the Holy Spirit adds the essential nutrients to ensure every soul's growth for the harvest of Jesus' soon return. If you want to learn more about God's Word, eternal life, and His Son, Jesus Christ, join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on KRRB Revelation Radio.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's with David Paxton in New York. And, David, you want to talk about this Saudi prince or whatever he was there?
Saudi dude. They all dress like princes over there, so mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. But actually, we put the video up on our site. The reason we're not playing it is because he's talking in Arabic. Right. But there's subtitles. So if you're listening to this on the radio, go watch it on lastchristian.net, and you'll see this guy. And he's, you know, I guess stereotypical Saudi Arabian. He's got the beautiful white clothes and the white... I don't know what you call it.
I don't know what you call it either.
I apologize, but and the ring on it, so he looks really sharp, and they're really smart. The Saudis are super smart.
Yes, they are.
And they're not the ones that are like causing all the trouble. So he is railing on Hamas, and now you know with Simon telling the lies before. One of the lies he said earlier is that these people don't want Trump to come in and do this and that and the other. And the bottom line is they really do. They just don't want to take the Hamas in. So that's why they're saying it. They're saying, oh, we don't want you to do that. Mm-hmm. And the reason is they don't want Hamas. The short story on it is, you know, he's going on. He's like, we're the sons of Ishmael and they're the sons of Jacob. Mm-hmm. And we're cousins and we get along and I love Israelis. And, you know, we're having this, but who are you people? He says, you're gypsies and you're mixed from all this different stuff. And it's like, you don't even have a home and you don't belong in Gaza. That belongs to Israel. And it's like, wow. You know, so it's got a real perspective of what it's like over there instead of the biased news of what they want us to hear over here. And they do not like Hamas.
No, they don't like Palestinians. He was really, like David said, it's on our site. Go to lastchristian.net and look up specials, okay? The special productions, because only those of you that access the site are ever going to see it. And it's not a very long video, but it's insightful. I mean, you're going to be shocked by what you see.
Yeah, and it's in subtitles, so you got to read it.
Right, exactly. Okay, I'm going to put this up now, David. This is about the third temple in Jerusalem.
Oh, that's fun.
Now, Pete Hegseth, he is our new Secretary of Defense. Now, in fairness, this came out of 2018, so this has been a few years ago. But he said that there's no reason why the miracle of the reestablishment of a temple on the Temple Mount is not possible. Now, he was given this at a 2018 speech. I'm not going to attempt the name of the conference in Jerusalem.
Harot Shiva.
I'm glad you can say it. he said, I don't know how it would happen. You don't know how it would happen, but I know that it could happen. That almost sounds like Kamala Harris. I hate to do that. But anyway, a step in that process, a step in every process, is a recognition that facts and activities on the ground truly matter. That's why going and visiting Judea and Samaria and understanding that sovereignty, the very sovereignty of Israel, Israeli soil, Israeli cities, locations is a critical next step to showing the world that this is the land for the Jews and the land of Israel. Now, I'm going to stop there for a second, David, and just get your comments on just that part, because it seems to me like he may be onto something here.
Yeah, and this is going to be the end time fight, so that's just clear that we're in the direction of prophecy here. Mm-hmm. And you know, now that he's appointed to a position of power and authority of some sense, you know, it stands to reason that it's here. Now you're going to have the world that doesn't want them there. They're going to fight and they're going to yell like little babies and stand in front of the door and demand to be let in, and then they're not going to let them in, like we're seeing all over the place now. Mm-hmm. And then the temple will be built. Now, after the temple's built, there's going to be some guy that comes in and says, okay, now I can sit on the throne because I'm God. Mm-hmm. That's what we call the Antichrist. So we know it will be built, and you know, for there are good reasons why it should be built, but the bottom line, it's still made of man,
right?
From man, and
it has
the only
to be
temple
built.
That
it yeah. has to be built because it's in the Bible. And you know, I want to show this next slide on this here, because the whole reason that the speech was uncovered is because of Donald Trump. You know, he moved the U.S. embassy to Israel. I mean, mm-hmm. in Israel to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv. And he, of course, he made the statement the U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip and will do a good job with it too. So anyway, this is where they were trying to dig up something to where they could keep him from becoming Secretary of Defense. That didn't work out for him. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a little history in here too, which I thought was pretty good. It says the first temple, also known as Solomon's Temple, was destroyed by the Babylonians when they conquered Jerusalem in 586 B.C., and then there was Herod's temple, which was a second Jewish temple constructed in Jerusalem, was destroyed by the Romans when they sacked the city in AD 70 following a months-long siege. The destruction of Herod's temple took place approximately 40 years after Jesus Christ prophesied the event, and that's according to Matthew 24:2. And then there's Christ's claim that he would rebuild the temple in 3 days after its destruction was among the accusations he faced during his trial before the Sanhedrin for blasphemy, according to Mark 14:53-62. And then Christ's mm-hmm. accusers failed to understand that he was speaking about the temple of his body, according to John 2:19-21. So according to contemporary Jewish historian Flavius Josephus, Herod's temple caught fire and was destroyed after a Roman soldier tossed a torch through its windows. Now, that seems kind of stupid to me. I don't know, but, you know, that's just me. Anyway, so last part here, before the Islamic Al-Aqsa Mosque was built on the Temple Mount. In the 7th century, multiple attempts to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem failed, according to contemporary historians, during the Bar, Kokhba, revolt against Roman rule that lingered from AD 132-135. An attempt to rebuild the temple fizzled after the revolt failed. And then during the 4th century, Roman Emperor Julian attempted to rebuild the temple in AD 363 until workers gave up the project after Julian died. An earthquake shook Galilee and fire erupted from the Temple Mount, according to the Encyclopedia Britannica. And now, maybe I'm wrong, but with the attempts, that's mm-hmm. just, in my opinion, that's God saying, no, it's not time yet.
Oh, 100%, yeah. Yeah, no matter what we do, if God's like, nope, just go, pink,
and the whole thing's done. It's on my timeline, yeah. It's on my timeline.
Not yet.
Now, I didn't know about those previous attempts to rebuild it. Do you know more?
All the time.
Okay.
Well, here's the deal. Just like the early church was waiting for the rapture, people mm-hmm. say, oh, they've been... So you get all sorts of rapture deniers, and they'll say, oh, Darby invented it. No, actually, the people Paul were talking to were actually looking for the rapture, including Paul himself. And that's, you know, he tells you you don't know the time, because he wants everybody in all ages to keep an eye up mm-hmm. and look for him. You know, and not for nothing, but 2,000 years is is nothing to God. It's like it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. So they're looking for it too, but at the same time, Satan doesn't know. So he's always had an Antichrist in the wings, mm-hmm. just in case Jesus was going to come back then, because he didn't tell him when. And so as prophecy is revealed, then we could see more and more, we're that much closer. And it wasn't until after Israel was reinstated again that we said, Israel has to be reinstated, you know, so looking for more things. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Right. We might find something else now and say, this had to happen first, mm-hmm. and we didn't see it before.
Right, right.
Because the seven thunders were, you know, blocked when John wrote them, when mm-hmm. John heard the seven thunders. And he said, don't write that just yet. And mm-hmm. I think it's in Revelation 9 or 10. So what are those thunders saying? And why didn't mm-hmm. he want him to write it yet?
Yeah, and we don't
know. Yeah, and that's why, because he doesn't want because the people out of timeline, listen, if I told you next Tuesday around 12:30, that's when Jesus is coming back, mm-hmm. you'd go do all sorts of crazy things until noon and then repent, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's not the way it has worked.
Mm-hmm.
No, right. Repent now. So in the same mindset, Satan not only had to have the Antichrist, but he had to have this temple that he wanted to sit on the throne in. Mm-hmm. So he kept trying to build it at different points. And here we are again.
Here we are again, and this time they'll be successful. Okay. Now, I titled this show Restoring Common Sense in America, and honestly, I think we pretty much covered a lot of that already, but we're going to get into real specifics now, because one mm-hmm. of the executive orders that that President Trump signed this week was to keep women's sports for women, and that men were no longer allowed to participate in women's sports unless you're a biological female. Now, that's common sense. Okay. So mm-hmm. So we've got swimmers here. These are female swimmers that are suing to strip this trans athlete of the medals that he won. Now, this is three former Ivy Leagues.
I thought they did already, no?
No, they're just now suing them because they just now, the orders of Biden have been overridden now, which prevented them from doing this. Now they got it. So these former swimmers are from the University of Pennsylvania, and they said that they have been left emotionally traumatized by training with this transgender athlete, Mr.
100%.
Mr. Thomas, and they have called for his records to be scrubbed, according to the suit. It names the ladies there, and it said the accused... they accuse the institution of breaching their Title IX rights by permitting Mr. Thomas to swim against women and share their changing room during the 2021 and 22 season, according to the lawsuit, which has been obtained by Fox News in this case. The Title IX law protects against gender discrimination in schools and were extended in 2024 by the Biden administration to encompass transgender and LGBT, whatever people. During his time competing for UPenn, Mr. Thomas broke several women's records at the Ivy League championship meet in 2022, which was hosted at Harvard University. The lawsuit in which Mr. Thomas was not named as a defendant was filed on Tuesday after Donald Trump signed an executive order banning transgender athletes from competing in women's sports. The lawsuit claimed that the team was initially told that they would not be sharing a changing room with Mr. Thomas, but the university soon changed its policy. One of them only learned that Thomas had been authorized by UPenn to use the women's locker room when she walked in the women's locker room to find Mr. Thomas in front of her changing his clothing. I can see where that would be just a touch bit nasty. Okay, then according to the lawsuit, they confronted Mike Schurner, the team's head coach, and in tears following the incident, and that the coach responded by saying, "I know it's wrong, but there's nothing I can do." The coach told the plaintiffs he would be fired by UPenn if he did not allow Mr. Thomas to use the women's locker room and compete on the women's swim team. It added that UPenn administrators invited the female athletes to talk to a talk titled Trans 101 that suggested raising concerns about having a trans-identifying biological male that had a psychological problem and needed counseling. It also, and that's directed at them, by the way, not at him. Okay. It also alleges that the university administrators warned them against speaking out about the situation, claiming it would harm their career prospects. That's a threat.
Okay. Threatening them.
Right. The UPenn administrators went on to tell the women that if the women spoke publicly about their concerns about Mr. Thomas's participation on the women's team, the reputation of those complaining about Thomas being on the team would be tainted with transphobia for the rest of their lives, and they would probably never be able to get a job. Mr. Thomas was born male, and he previously competed on the UPenn's men's swimming team from 2017 to 2020 before being introduced to the women's squad at their incoming teammate in autumn 2019. The swimmer went on to win the national college championships and became the subject of a major lawsuit against the NCAA over its refusal to prevent transgender women from competing in sports. And I'm going to show another slide here. Hold on one second. Let me get this all down to this one right here. Oh, good. It didn't work right. Hold on a second. I'll fix it because this is important, and I want everybody to see it. So y'all are going to see a black screen here just for a second.
This is just insanity.
It is insanity. Yeah, you know, complete insanity.
It goes right along with the emperor has no clothes. I mean, it's just it's retarded to even think that.
I want you to look at this one real quick. It says a spokesman for the NCAA said that college sports are the premier stage for women's sports in America, and while the NCAA does not comment on pending litigation, the association and its members will continue to promote Title IX, make unprecedented investments in women's sports, and ensure fair competition in all NCAA championships. Now, they have, since the executive order, removed trans women from being able to compete in the NCAA. That happened this week.
Well, they had to, yeah.
Yeah, they had to.
They were forced to.
So, look at this now. I've got it on there. This is the guy, okay? You see a picture of him. And before the transition, while competing in men's Olympic or men's sports, 2018 to 2019 season, in the 500-yard freestyle, he ranked 65th nationally with a time of 4:18.72. I think that's 4:18.72, whatever. After his transition and competing in women's events, the 2021-2022 season, in the same race but against women, he won the NCAA Division I Women's Championship with a time of 4:33.24, which is actually slower, becoming the first openly transgender athlete to secure the NCAA Division I National Championship. So he went from mediocre to being the champion simply because he said, okay, I'm a woman because I can't beat any men, so I'm going to go beat up on women. Okay, Trump has restored common sense. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, it's definitely a mental issue, and I'm sorry if you don't like that, but it's true. You're mental, okay? You need help. A lot of help. Now,
a lot of help.
It doesn't mean we don't love you, but it does mean we're going to stop you from doing this nonsense.
Right.
Okay. And then we're going to help try and fix you so you're not that way anymore. It's got nothing to do with hate. It's got to do with we're going to love you to tell you the right thing and to be angry with you for committing the abomination and bring you back to righteousness. I did notice when Trump was signing it, he had all those young girls, and they're like, hey, you guys want to come on up?
Like 50,
and that was so
least,
cool. Yeah. And the Secret Service, they said, you're not afraid of them, are you?
I was thinking the same thing, David. When he did that, I can see all these Secret Service guys going, oh, that's off schedule. We don't know. What if they got a pencil?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, and that was great. Can you imagine those girls have that now for the rest of their lives.
Oh man, yeah.
That lesson. Not to mention all around the nation, where they're like, oh, thank God, I don't have to deal with that anymore.
Right.
Because you know, I'll tell you this. You know, we just watched a movie. Remember a movie with Bruce Willis called Death Wish?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And sure. Yeah, and then they came in and they had killed his wife and wounded his daughter. And he secretly went around and took care of the situation all by himself. And then and he set it all up. And the detective knew. He's like, oh, so you just got that wound last night that's already healed already. Oh, yeah. And he knew. He's like, okay, well, you just stick to saving lives. And yeah. I think secretly that's where we're at. You know, because that's what would happen to me. If I saw a man in my daughter's, dressing mm-hmm. room, mm-hmm. oh, it wasn't me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you remember,
I don't know why it's missing.
I think it was Target.
I had no idea. I was home sleeping.
Yeah. I think it was Target that first came out with the policy.
They changed, by the way. Target.
Yeah, they've gone back to
on it.
They've gone back to common sense. But when they did that, number one, I boycotted Target. I hadn't been back to it since.
Yep.
But other stores I wasn't sure about. So anytime either my wife or my daughter went into the bathroom when we were out, I would always stand in, like, really close to the door and just kind of fold mm-hmm. my hands. And it's like, there's no man going in there. I promise you that there's not going to be a man going in there. I might go to jail, but there's not going to be a man going in there. You know, that was the way I looked
exactly.
at it. Mm-hmm. All right, now then, for those of you that think, oh, well, y'all are just picking on them, you know, you just don't like it. Okay, well, I'm going to show you what God likes. All right, the Bible does address homosexuality in several passages, and I only pulled a few, David. Primarily in the Old Testament. It says primarily in the Old and New Testaments. I don't know what they think is the third one. Different Christian denominations and scholars interpret these passages in various ways, leading to differing beliefs on the topic. Below are some of the key verses often cited in discussions about homosexuality in Old Testament, and you can elaborate on all these, David. Leviticus 18:22, do not have sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman. That is detestable. I think that one's pretty clear. Leviticus 20:13, if a man has sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable. They are to be put to death. Their blood will be on their own heads. I think that's pretty clear. In the New Testament, you got Romans 1:26-27. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Or do you not follow that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Timothy 1:9-10, the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. And I've just got one more slide here. And it says that Jesus speaks to homosexuality. Jesus clearly spoke of homosexuality in the Gospels, as he did uphold marriage as between a man and a woman. That's Matthew 19:4-6. And just to read that, it says, and he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Now, though just a few of these verses, it's clear that Jesus clearly prohibited homosexuality and upheld heterosexuality marriage or heterosexual marriage as God's design. Again, design. Thus destroying the misinterpretation of Scripture by those practicing homosexuality, transsexuality, and transhumanism. Jesus taught that all people must seek salvation through Christ. And this is in John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So, David, I'm going to give you the remaining time, and just go ahead and give them a mini sermon.
It is going to be a mini sermon. What the things we learn here, and it's because it's God's design. It's not like he just, I hate you, this and that and the other, but it's an abomination. And it's a direct affront to what God said and what God designed. It's just like evolution. Mm-hmm. So for all through history, for the most part, except for like some Hindu stuff that came up with evolution back in the day, but the Western world was like, okay, who is the creator? Mm-hmm. Somebody obviously created this place. Because it's so well designed, but who is that creator? So is it this God? Is it that God? Is it Allah? Is it one of the other ones? You know, Hercules, whatever. And that is in a sense, that's a debate. But the debauchery that is evolution is that, oh no, we didn't even need a creator. So that's a greater insult to say, everything here. We didn't need a creator for that. It just happened by accident, you know. So now time and chance is your God. And we see the same thing along lines here where, yeah, God created it. But if you have evolution, well, then you can just do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. So even back then, they didn't. When they had other gods, like if you are Islam, they'll actually kill you if you're a homosexual because they believe it's that sacred. They literally just throw them off the top of a building. Here you go, and tie their hands behind their back so they can't even break their fall. That's what they do. So to do this is to get to a point where you don't even trust the God that created you, and that's the reprobate mind that's spoken of in Romans chapter 1. And what most people don't realize is that the homosexuality is actually the punishment for it. It says in Romans 1:26, it says, for this cause he gave them up to vile affections. Mm-hmm. Why? Well, let's back it up. He says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped to serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Now, check that verse out. The truth for a lie. What is the lie? They worship the creature rather than the one who created the creature. Mm-hmm. That's evolution. Oh, look, it's miraculous that we turned from an amoeba to a fish to a monkey to humans. Look at that. They're worshiping the creature. They're worshiping the created things more than the creator. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change a natural use into that which is against nature. So this is where we're at when you change that. And that's what the whole idea behind evolution was to destroy the family and destroy God and just say, no, God didn't need to create this place. Mm-hmm. Because of that is why we have homosexuality rampant in today's world. So naturally, when people come back to God and say, yes, he is the creator, well, what did he say? Oh, this is how he created man and woman. Mm-hmm. Okay. So think about that. And if you are or were gay, you can repent of that and receive Jesus as your Savior. And Lord willing, we'll see you in the next show. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show, available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net. This powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.